Well, I've been blessed by the singing tonight. I was telling Brother Jason before we started, I said, we was talking about the young man that preached this morning. I said, "You going to turn around?" He said, "Yeah, when I give his age, I realized I could have been his daddy." And I remember when Brother Jason was that young. I'm honored to be here tonight. We've heard some great preaching this morning, some great singing tonight. And Brother Mike, I just thank you for the honor and the privilege of being here. And I pray that what God's laid on our heart wasn't settled till we got in the prayer room. And Brother Mike said, "We want to pray that the lost will be saved and saints adrift would come back home." And God settled it. And I hope that it'll encourage you tonight. But I'm going to tell you, like I did last year, my heart's desire is for real revival. Amen. Not just a good camp meeting, Brother Mike. Not just a good Sunday service or Wednesday night service for God to send real revival. That will change the very atmosphere of our communities. And it'll change the morality that has swept and take away the immorality that has swept our nation. So thank you, Oak Lane, for allowing me to be here one more year. And if you would stand and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. We're going to use verse 18 for a text. And before we're done, we'll wind up down around verse number 20. The Lord burnt this into my heart, and I want to ask you a question when we get through reading the text and praying. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, "Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God." Father, as we come before you tonight, God, we thank you for how our spirits have been stirred. God, I thank you that I can stand in assurance tonight and know that I am yours and know that you're mine. I thank you, Lord, and you've already proven it through storms of the past. Should there be greater storms in the future, that we have an anchor that's both sure and steadfast that enters into that within the veil. God, thank you for those men that brought the Word of God to us this morning. God, we realize that nothing will please you if it's not intertwined with faith. For those that come to you must believe that you are, and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. God, I thank you that, God, we can be so close to you. That, God, you call us your friend. God, we thank you for that message. God, I thank you for the good singing tonight. But now, Lord, I pray you'll take your servant in the palm of your hand. God, you'll first speak to our heart, to our mind, and then give us power and demonstration to deliver that which you've laid on our heart. And God, I echo the prayer that Brother Mike made mention of. If there's a sinner lost in the house tonight, God, I pray they'll not wait another day, not another moment, before they give their heart and life to thee. And God, if they're sitting in this building tonight, saints adrift, those that are outside your will at this moment, God, they'll not wait another minute to get in. So God, I ask you to use us tonight, and above all things, that you'd be glorified and you'd be honored. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight. And I promise you, I come with some of them make you feel real good before you left. But I've always said you really can't feel good if you're not right. Amen. It'll just be an emotional stir that'll last you about 20 minutes till after we're done. But God has placed this in my heart, and I want to preach on this subject. When one bemoans himself. Now, before I dig in, I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody here that is saved and they know it?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Is there anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, answer it in your own heart. Is there anybody here saved and know it, but you know at this moment things are not just right in your life? Let that sink in. Now, tonight, not every hand went up that they were saved and they knew it tonight. So I don't even have to ask the other question. So I'm going to ask this question. Is there anybody here that desires real, lasting revival in their life and in their community? Bemoaning, what does that mean? Deep grief, regret that brings heartache, an idea of getting troubled news, serious illnesses, crisis, death of a loved one. It affects the heart, those who trust in idol gods that go through these things have a God that cannot hear them, a God that does not care about them, a God that has no power to do anything for them. I'm glad that in the deepest of my heartaches that I have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Tonight, when we desire him, and I want you to understand this, when one bemoans himself, the God of heaven will send help to that person. He will grant mercy and help in time of need when one bemoans himself. And I'm going somewhere. And he knows our condition before we ever realize the condition we're in. So why would we not, Brother John, place our faith and trust in a God that knows exactly what we're going through and where we're at the moment we're in? And when one bemoans himself, it should cause him to desire him who knows all about us. And let me say to you right now, when we desire him and seek him with our whole heart, he can be found. So I'm saying on the onset, there's no reason that we can't have real lasting revival. I'm talking about a revival, and I have seen revivals in my lifetime. I've seen it right there at Harmony Baptist Church. Folks be driving by during the service, stop their automobiles, come in, walk through the door, wind up at an altar, and say, I don't know what caused me to stop here. I'll tell you what it is. It's the power of God that stops people in their tracks and begins to turn them and take them in the direction they need to go. I'm talking about a revival that will change us. So tonight, I want to give you this before we get in. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. So tonight, sinner, you'll never be saved until you bemoan yourself. Saint adrift, you'll never have revival in your life until you bemoan yourself. So first of all, let's talk about the heartache for just a minute. Look with me starting at verse 18b, and let's go down through verse 19. The heartache that we see taking place here. Now let me say this. I could say all the cliches, But anybody that has studied the book of Jeremiah knows that he preached with a broken heart. They know that he preached to a people that would not listen, a people that went further and further and further into bondage. So tonight, don't let that happen to you and I. Amen. So when I'm talking about the heartache, I'm talking to the sinner lost and the saint adrift. The Bible says, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. But now notice his wording. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned. You notice the wording? I repented. It was then that he repented, and after I was instructed, I smote up on my thigh. I was ashamed, yeah, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. That sounds like somebody that's brokenhearted about the condition that they're in. That bemoaning himself has this idea. He's not bemoaning a crowd. It's him and him alone. I tell you, it's time that we realize the problem is not the world. The world is spinning and doing what it's done ever since Adam sinned. But the problem, hey, is not the church. He said, up on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The problem is not in the preachers. We heard enough gospel this morning to save the world. The problem is you and you alone, or me and me alone, that holds back the flood tides of God's blessings. Notice what he's saying. There are many. We've got to agree. We're aware of sin. I never go to a meeting that I don't hear a message, and I very seldom preach a meeting that you don't hear me preach about sodomy. Amen? We're aware of it. Amen? We're aware of it. But here's the problem. Do you know that even among not just the world, not just against us, not just in society, but in the religious world, now we have taken sin, and we no longer call it sin. We have taken sin. Hey, we're aware of it. Hey, we know it's there. Hey, but so many times we excuse it away, or we compromise with it, we condone it. Hey, or either we are participating in it. And let me just go ahead right here. I don't know where all God's going, but sin is still a kid or a killer. The wages of sin is death. Hey, and it'll always destroy and kill. But here we find him bemoaning himself. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means we no longer desire to compromise. It means that sin has done something now in our conscience and in our soul that we've been unaware of. In other words, we have been awakening. It's one that has been awakened in his heart and in his conscience, the consequences of what sin will do. Amen? That's not mankind work. The programs have failed. Amen? The cliches have failed. Our fancy outlines have failed. And I still preach with homiletics. I'm too dumb not to, because I can't stay on track if I don't. But listen to me. All of the cliches, all of our programs will not awaken a heart to what sin can do. Now the old timers call it, and I still agree with them, conviction. You know what conviction is? That don't mean there's a trial coming. That means you've been convicted. That means you are guilty. That means you've got to give an account for what you've been convicted of. Am I making sense?
And when that heart, I don't know about you, but I remember when my heart as an 18-year-old boy was awakened and made aware of sin and conviction came in. When one is brought to that point, he becomes restless. He becomes fearful. He becomes anxious. He becomes to the point that he begins to be broken on the inside and say, oh no, what's going to take place? If one does not run from that or cast his mind elsewhere and get his mind off of it or run to the beggarly elements of the world and try to drown that heartache that's coming into his soul at that moment, then something good is coming his way. How many remember when the Lord convicted you? I know I've shared it here. I was in a little cinder block building that sits on the bank, Bayou Bartholomew in Jones, Louisiana. It's not even a church there, not even a community there anymore, but I could wade through the rubble and I could take you to the very spot where the Holy Ghost of God arrested my heart and woke me up and let me see where I was headed and the destruction and where my eternity lied, which was hell. And I was so scared that I was scared to leave the church that day and getting my car. The By Bridge was about a mile away. I felt like in my soul I'd be dead and in hell before I crossed the bridge. But show you how powerful the enemy is. I held on to that pew and I made it through the whole service. But we had a visiting preacher that day by the name of Jimmy Gibson. And I'm talking about was much of a preacher. He's dead and in heaven now. I preached his funeral just a few years ago. And back in those days, we didn't just end the service and go to talking about football games and baseball games and gather around. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No, the preacher, if he was visiting, came up and the whole congregation made a circle and shook his hand. And I'll never forget, Brother Mike, that day I was going to lie through my teeth and say, Brother Jimmy, I sure did enjoy that. Yeah. And when I done that, he went, son, don't put that off.
Amen.
Hey, aren't you thankful for old-time preachers?
Yes, sir. Amen.
That when they recognize the convicting power of God are not scared to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Hey, I from right there, I fell to the side, fell on my knees. I'm glad for the convicting power, the awakening of the Holy Ghost that caused me to bemoan and broke my heart over the sin that was in my life. Got to move on. Let's note the sorrow that is before us. This sorrow was not for others. It was not for his kin folks. It wasn't for his kids, his mama or his daddy. It wasn't for his friends. Now, Brother Allen, we shouldn't care about them. Yeah, but we can't do nothing for them until we get through bemoaning ourselves.
That's right.
Man, if God ever gets you close enough to hell, you won't worry about nobody but you.
That's right, brother.
Amen. And child of God, if you ever want real revival, and you see where you're at and you're not in the will of God, and then you'll start seeing something else. We'll bring that out a little further. I'm trying not to preach 2 hours. It's not for our neighbors. It's not even for our church. It's not even for our nation. It's not even for our bodily ailments or our loss of finances. It's not even the sorrow that we have over the death of a loved one. No, it's the sorrow of another kind. It's the sorrow of a soul lost that's been visited by the Holy Ghost of God, the inward grief of someone who has been convicted of their sin. Not just convicted of sin, but they've been convicted of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. Am I making sense? Let's move on. Did I tell y'all there's a real, real good point at the end of this? I hope so. It's so bitter, it brings us to tears and heartache. But yet with it, it's bringing hope. It's bringing hope. It's a well-favored sorrow. Romans 2, verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches and goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. You see, conviction is not repentance.
That's right, brother.
We're going to bring that out a little further in the text. So many people get to conviction and God, I feel like they'll get at an altar and they'll get so convicted of their sin. Hey, and then a lot of times we'll get in the way of the Holy Ghost and we'll come and say this little prayer and you're saved, when they never got past the point of conviction. We programized ourselves right into Holy Ghost work. Amen. And now we've got a system that says all you got to do is believe. So now we have them run down the aisles popping bubble gum and running down saying, I want to get saved. Okay, you're saved. Go back to your seat. We'll baptize you next week and we'll put your name on the roll. I thank God that Holy Ghost conviction came into my life. And I'm glad that even though I trusted those men of God that were there, and they believe like me, the best program we got is written right here in the pages of this book. But they were too tied up with other folk getting saved at that time. I had to do it. It was just me and God. Let me move on. It's a well-favored sorrow that says to oneself, I have sinned. I have offended God who created me. My sin is ever present in me. I have broken the laws of God. I have set myself against the very God in whom I live and move and have my being. It says, He should punish me. I deserve to die. I deserve anything God would put on me because of the sin in my life. Sin became to us at that moment in our life exceedingly sorrowful. We said things like this, but Lord, I'll do better. Only to find we had not the ability to do better. And as we thought we were gaining ground and were doing a little better, we found out that there were still sins back there that we had to do something with. Because we were guilty of all of those sins that brought us to this point. And we couldn't do anything with them, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. Says to one, the word of God is true. All have sinned and come short the glory of God. And that includes me. It tells us that now we are separated, dead in trespasses and in sin. And in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing we can do about that. We're slaves to it. As Brother Doyle would say if he was here preaching to you, a sinner by birth, sinner by nature, and a sinner by choice. Just slave in bondage to sin. Then it says to our own heart, when one bemoans himself, I'm doomed. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. And at this point, it seems like we wish that we'd never been born. But yet, we keep seeing as we're convicted, something else taking place. See, it's a humbling sorrow. We find here in the text, Ephraim is no longer excusing himself. He gives up all excuses and says, I have sinned. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I thought myself to be good, even better than most, but I find out there's no good thing in me. Isn't it amazing how we try to justify our sins because of somebody else's sin? But yet we've all sinned. He said, I deserve his justice. Sinner lost, saint adrift tonight. Let that sink deep into our thoughts. And let each and every one of us, from Brother Allen to the wall back yonder, examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith or not. Amen. Not only that, it's a thoughtful sorrow. Notice what he's saying. Y'all may not believe it, but I'm over halfway through. It's a thoughtful sorrow. He said, thou chastise me, but it didn't change me. Do you notice that in the text? How many times before we were saved did God deal with us in the convicting power of the Holy Ghost? And how many times you that may be here tonight that is lost and undone, has God come by your way, maybe in a Sunday service, maybe in a Sunday night service or Wednesday night service, or at even one of these camp meetings, God dealt with you and showed you were lost and on your way to hell, and it broke your heart because you knew he was telling the truth. But yet you just left, cast your mind somewhere else, kept thinking about other things to get it off of your mind. How many times? How many of us that are saved has God dealt with us to totally surrender back to Him? I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I remembered I heard the young man talking about when he surrendered. Every preacher in here has got a story. I wish I could say God saved me when I was 18 and man, I jumped in there and grabbed my Bible and I went to preaching, but I didn't. I didn't surrender till I was the age of 23. And you know what brought me to it? Y'all know my oldest, Seth. He was 3 years old. About 40 different tubes from his head to his toe running in and out of him. God was calling me. And I prayed, Brother Newton, I prayed and I prayed and I said, God, I'm playing, we're singing every week. I'm doing something for you. No answer. The burden got heavier and heavier. But you know what God did? I fell asleep in such turmoil that night I saw my son lying in a coffin. And it woke me up. And I said, God, I'll preach. Now, why I fought it, I don't know. I love preaching. But how many times has God dealt with us to surrender all? But yet we didn't. And you say, but Brother Allen, what are you saying? I'm saying God chastises in many ways, and He can get it plain.
That's right.
He can get it plain. And you don't want that. But yet Ephraim is saying, you've chastised me, but not only that, it didn't change me. And besides that, I deserve the chastising that you get. Can you see that in the text? But now watch what happens. So we'd try to do better. He'd chastise us, we'd try to do better. Only fall back further.
That's right.
Sounding kind of hopeless, doesn't it? Lord, there's no use to chastise me. I deserve your testimony. Matter of fact, Lord, yeah, and I heard y'all speaking of it tonight, Lord, I don't deserve anything but death. That's what the heartbreak is. But notice what he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it. But this time, Lord, you turn me. You turn me. In other words, now the conviction turns to repentance. Are you with me? And I don't know if you've heard it in a while, but I'm sure knowing these preachers that are here, you have. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, so many stop right there, but now the whole tone is changing as he's so heartbroken when he realizes his condition, and he says, Lord, you turn me. Lord, you change me, and I will be changed. In other words, Lord, I can't do it. I've tried everything I know. I'm giving it all to you. Lord, you save me, or there is no hope. Don't mend me. May each sinner lost and every saint adrift tonight examine themselves, bemoan themselves, and then repent at the turning of God. Do you know the turning of God begins with convicting you of your sin?
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, I don't want him to convict me. You better be glad he does.
Amen.
Amen. You better be glad that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You better be glad God loves you enough to not to want to see you die and go to hell. Amen. But when he convicts you, yield to the turning. Yield to it. Say, God, I don't know what. I didn't know how to pray the day I got saved. And probably people think, well, what you said was stupid. But I know one thing. It got him in my heart, and he ain't left since I was an 18-year-old boy. All I knew to say is, God, all I know is I'm going to hell. But if you'll save me, I promise I'll serve you to the best of my ability all the days of my life. Let him turn you. Yield to the Master. And he will change you. Then next, we hear the hearing. Look back at 18, the very first part. It says, I have surely heard. It's a good day in your life when God hears your prayer. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. What do you mean? If you ever reach the point of bemoaning yourself, like we've just talked about, I'm talking about not bragging, not bargaining, but begging God for his salvation and just humbly crying out to God, the Bible is plain, he will hear that cry. He's not going to hear you in your pride.
That's right.
You remember the two that went to the temple and prayed? One said, Lord, I thank thee that I do this and I do that. I give tithes and alms and I do all of these things. And an old Samaritan come in there and he just smote on his best. An old poor man just didn't have nothing but just smote and wouldn't even look up to heaven but said, God be merciful to me a sinner. And God said that man went home justified rather than the other. You're not going to come to him in your pride. You'll come humbly. And I promise you, if he ever gets you as close to hell as he did me in his convicting power, you'll bemoan yourself. But you got to go beyond that. You've got to let him turn you. Psalm 9:12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. You remember the day you cried out to him? Let me move on. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about God. God, I don't have time to go through all of that, but God who is righteous, God who is holy, He who the Bible says is of pure eyes than to even look on sin, at this point has visited our life to show us the condition that we are in. This same God that sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for sinners, who brought that mercy and that grace and into this world for you and I so we would not have to die in our sins. I'm talking about the God of heaven, creator of all things, who in the beginning told us that through Jesus Christ created all things by and for Him. The one that the Bible says the heavens of heavens can't contain Him. The one my Bible says He's so big that He inhabits eternity. It teaches me that heaven's His throne, earth's His footstool. This God of heaven, who one day will judge the world in righteousness. Now that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance, in that He raised Him from the dead. This same God, the same God that was angered in the days of Noah, but give Him grace. The same God that in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, who brought His wrath upon the city, still saved Lot. This same God who says one day we'll judge the whole world in righteousness. I'm telling you, when you get humble enough, broken enough, and you cry out to Him, He still hears the cry of the brokenhearted. Last point. Now we see the hand of the Savior. And I want to try to bring it home. Verse 20. Is he from my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly. See, everything I've been preaching to you makes you feel about this big, don't it? How deep the Father's love for me. Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. Boy, I love this. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. You see, today, we have so many that pick and choose what sinners they want God to save. Oh, we don't want nobody like that in the church. You get somebody like that in the church, let God do the work in them, they'll win more people than you will. That's a hard lesson for me. I didn't come up I come up where all we was fighting was long hair. Amen. And it took an old preacher come to hear me preach saying, that hippie's the one doing the preaching, to get me to cut my hair. I'd read over where Paul said, when in Rome, I'll be as a Roman doing the, if it offend my brother, I'll eat no meat. And I thought, well, that's offending my brother, so I'll cut my hair. Let's face it, folks, we're living in a drug-infested world. We're not looking at sinners that just come off the farm with dirty fingernails from working in the fields. We're dealing with drug addicts. We're dealing with alcoholics, drunkards. They're not going to look like we want them to look when they come into church. But let me say this to you. The Holy Ghost ever gets a hold of the heart. And they bemoan themselves. They'll look different the next Sunday. What are you saying, Brother Hallett? I'm saying to you, Jesus Christ didn't die for just one. He died for all. He brought mercy. He brought grace. He's the one that took the penalty for our sin. Man. He sent it by Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is to all who bemoan themselves. I said this Sunday, and I feel like I've got freedom to say it right here. God don't pick and choose who He's going to save. I can't find that from Genesis to Revelation, Brother Mike. I find for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I read in the Word of God that all that will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I find in the Word of God that He died once and for all. I find that His sacrifice covered all the world from Adam to the end of time, which included me, which included you, which included every man, woman, boy, and girl. Friend, I'm telling you, when your heart cries out to God for His salvation, salvation will come. Sinner, I won't say this. I'm trying to close, but I ain't done. Do you remember, as we went through the scriptures, it was saying, I deserve your punishment. I deserve your wrath. I deserve death. He's still right. It has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. And you know who paid it? It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was not one of the prophets. It was not one of the apostles. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born without sin, who lived without sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. He's the one that went before Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to release you or crucify you? And He said, you have no power except it be given you from heaven. For this hour came I into the world. And listen to me, when He was standing, when He was hanging on the cross, after being beaten beyond recognition, He was shedding His blood for you and for me to pay the price that we could not pay. And that was the price of sin. But I like what He said. Listen, there are those that said, the Romans killed Him. Others say the Jews killed Him. I say to you, none of us killed Him. He died because we were all already dead, and He was dying that we might live. He said, no man take my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to raise it up. This commandment have I of my Father. Matter of fact, here's your little camp meeting stuff. If you want it, I see Him hanging on Calvary, and death's just a breathing down His neck. He says, get over yonder, death. There's one fixing to call out to me. I see the thief on one side begin to say, Lord, remember me whenever thou comest into thy kingdom. He gets saved. Old devil comes back. He says, not yet. He said, I'm going to show you what I can do. From the sixth to the ninth hour, darkness covered the land. The earth began to shake. Every rock was moved out of its place. Death run back. He said, not yet. Amen. I see Him at the end of that ninth hour. As He began to finish paying the debt. Yeah. And as He's there in His final hour, raising up. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Satan says, he said, and he gave up the ghost. They took him down, put him in Joseph's tomb. Hey, but on the third day, guess what? He came right back up. But the Bible says, neither did he see corruption. They gigged at him for 3 days, but they couldn't have him. On the third day, he rose up with all power in heaven and in earth. What was he doing? He was getting ready to pay your debt and my debt. Off of the Jews' altar, all they ever had was one sacrifice after another, but it never could bring the eternal redemption to man. But one day, golly, how did I get off in all this? For 40 days, he's ascending, he's descending. What's he doing? He's tying two worlds together. No man hath ascended unto the Father save he that came down from the Father. All God had ever smelt was that came off the Jewish altar. But the Bible says that this time, he walked in into the Holy of Holies, with his own blood. And when he walked in there, then divine justice that had been screaming death since the dawn of time had to sit down, and mercy and grace came up, and the Father said, this will pay the debt for sins of mankind. And then a plan was given to all mankind. When a man will repent, when he bemoans himself and he'll repent and put his faith in Christ alone, he'll be saved. So tonight I'm saying to you, golly, I could keep going, but so tonight I want to just end it like this. I got to get done. God being my helper. The most important time of the service. The most important. When he had by himself purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Tonight, sinner, I know how Satan works. Because he'll be saying, if you go up there to get saved, they're going to know what you've done. I don't care what you've done. And if somebody in here's got a problem with what you've done, they've got the problem. I'm trying to get you to the problem solver. But I know how the devil works. He'll try to say, yeah, but you know what all you've done? Do you not think that the sovereign God of heaven who knows the end from the beginning don't know exactly what you've done? He's not trying to save you from what you've done. He's trying to save you from what you are, and that's a sinner. When he gets in, he'll forgive you of all of that. When he saves you from what you are, you'll quit doing what you do. Really, Brother Allen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So I say to you tonight, that sin that's got a hold of you, if tonight inside your heart broke over it, if tonight you're bemoaning yourself and saying, you know, I really deserve this, then I'm saying to you, you're in a good spot. Because remember, he didn't stop with bemoaning himself. He began to say, Lord, you turn me. He turns you by way of the Holy Ghost. Give you a few scriptures. If y'all would, y'all come on and get us a song ready. So tonight, sinner, I'm saying to you, you come. And I promise you, if you'll follow that turning, and you're brokenhearted and humbled enough to cry out to God to save you, he'll save you. Let me show you this. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You have the scripture, which is forever settled in heaven. Number 2, John 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. That's the Spirit dealing with your heart. That's not Brother Allen preaching. That's the Spirit of God dealing with your heart. John 6:44. You'll thank God for the Spirit. Or John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which is in heaven draw him. That's the Sovereign talking. John 14:6. Jesus saith, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Now you have the Savior involved. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So I'm saying all of those things going on in your heart, that's Him turning you. But the first place you got to get past is the conviction. That has brought the brokenness to your heart. And then you got to repent. What is that? You've got to turn it all over to Christ. That's you saying, I no longer love my sin. I hate it. I'm turning it all over to you. I've tried everything, Lord. Here I am. Take it all. And in faith, believe that He can and will do it. I'll just give you proof in everything that I just give you in those scriptures. Then tonight, if you're here tonight and you're saved, but you know you're not where you ought to be with God, I want to give you one scripture. Because here's what the devil will do to you. I told you couldn't live it. Ain't no use you trying again. You might as well just sit down on it. Leave it alone. But tonight, if God's broke your heart of where you're at, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. If we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get back in the light. We need revival. But saints, you and I need to get broken over what we're at, where we're at in our day and time. God's broke me. I asked Him, it was before COVID, so it's been about 4 years now. God, break me. If that's what it takes for me to see revival, break me. And I'm telling you, I stay pretty broken. I'm a titty baby. Squall baby, whatever you want to call it. Don't laugh at me. I sounded like Brother Mike Hutzel. Tonight, seriously, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether you're lost or saved. Only you and God know that. But you know, you and God know. Tonight, if you're saved, you're not right with God. You need to be the first ones making the move. Because you see, Ephraim could have stopped at bemoaning and not asked God to turn him. Did you see that picture? And send a friend, look up here. Brother Allen don't want you to go to hell. God don't want you to go to hell. Brother Mike, this church don't want you to go to hell. Tonight, if God's dealing with your heart, you come and be saved before it's everlasting too late. As we stand. Altars are open.